All right, thanks a lot. I've got several things I want to talk about this morning with in regards to interspecific integration, a lot of strategies that we're taking in the Khan Improvement Lab there at Texas A&M. First, I want to talk about the core approach that I've taken with interspecific integration. I've decided to go with the strategy of making backcross one populations, with the recurrent parent being the upland parent. This is when I came on board at Texas A&M, Wayne Smith had already started this process, and I saw that it was very successful when he was working with 94L25 and a lot of those integrations, and then also my interactions with some of the wheat breeders at CIMMYT in Mexico. This is the strategy that they're taking with their wheat program. And so the upland recurrent parent that I like to use, early generation parents derived from complex crosses, and I like to make a lot of crosses per combination. And some people have asked me, well, why do you make so many crosses? Well, I come from a large family, and I don't look exactly like my brothers and sisters, so you know, maybe we can increase some variability there. And when I do make plant selections, I like to try to wait until at least the F3 generation or later to give the population a chance to settle down and get some genes set there. And then after plant selection, well, then we go through a process of intense roguing. You know, I do as much as I can, but the technicians and the graduate students really take the brunt of this, doing those 12-point inspections on every single plant. Where are we getting these interspecific or the integrated source material? One of the valuable sources has been with the collaboration with David Stelly. He's provided us with Gossypium muscellinum and Tomentosum lines. We've this past year we received lines from the USDA that had arboreum integrations, and then also the Barbadense Sea Island and several land races there from the National Germplasm Collection, which is fortunately just less than a mile up the road from our Khan Improvement Lab. With the arboreums that we grew out this past year, we had 120 lines that were BC2 lines, with a recurrent parent being MD51, and we had 42 lines that were BC1 times BC1 intermated lines. And we planted these in single micro plots because in a lot of cases for several of these lines we only had 4 or 5 seeds. So, you know, these were hand-planted. It was a hand-planted operation. The germination wasn't always up to snuff on these. Had some missing plots in there and didn't get a good stand throughout there. But we did manage to pull out 166 individual plant selections from this nursery. What we plan on doing in the future with this, we'll continue reselection through this nursery and also pull out some of the more promising lines for further hybridization. With our typical interspecific hybridization performance testing program, in 2008 we had 400 lines in an F3 nursery, and these were derived from muscellinum and tomentosum and Sea Island integrations. We had 15 lines in advanced strains test, and those were all of muscellinum origin. And I had 58 lines in a preliminary strain observation nursery, and those were all Sea Island integrations. And I had pulled out 19 lines in a preliminary strain trial, and these were all Sea Island by upland crosses. And one note on that, one of the specific characteristics that I was looking for when I was putting lines into this preliminary strains trial was the ochre leaf characteristic. And it turned out 12 of the 19 lines that were in this test did have ochre leaf. Now, we haven't got the yield data back on this test, but just from notes that I've taken, probably about half of these lines will be discarded because the yield and the adaptation was so poor. So you can weed out a lot of material in a hurry at this level. Some of the one of the projects that I worked on last winter was with Gossypium barbadense sessions. Requested several from the National Germplasm Collection, grew these out in the greenhouses. Some of these, I did get some crosses made, and they did okay, but there's some of them that were just a complete waste of time because they never flowered. So, you know, I don't have the patience to sit around and wait for these things to work. I mean, you know, God bless the people who do. And looking at some of these growing in the greenhouses, and of course they won't let us use plant growth regulators because we're in there with, you know, everybody else. We can't put growth regulators on there, so they get quite large, and you can see the cinder blocks behind there. This is our elite upland recurrent parent, and it was about chest high on me, and you can see how tall some of these other ones got. Some of these were selected at random because they had good names like Inca Cotton and Berry Indian number 3. Maybe I should have went with Berry Indian number 1 or 2. They never flowered. Gossypium darwinii, it started to branch out like it had thrips damage, but there was no insect damage there. It just bushed out. And then Marie Galante, it never flowered either, but it made a nice looking plant. And then you have Tanguis here in the middle. And Giza 83 actually put on a lot of flowers and looked really good in the subsequent out in the field. But boy, it really got tall. And, to get the flowers off there, I had to lay the plant over and go walk to the other side of the bench to go get the flowers. So I continued this work during the summer in the growing season. And I was actually able to get some more crosses with a few of the other lines, like Fiji Sea Island and Bleak Hall Sea Island and Concord times Gaddis. Some of the F1s that I grew out, they all look very good. In fact, it was a great teaching tool for the students to show them F1 hybrid vigor in cotton, because they shot out of the ground like a rocket, for the first few months, and then they just kept going. But then as the season progressed and summer turned into fall and fall turned into winter, these things were still green and growing and weren't going to stop. And so it gives you a good idea that maybe F1 hybrid cotton isn't always the way to go. And I also received a lot of accessions from the germplasm collection that I grew out in single plot nurseries there in College Station. And a couple of the Barbadense lines that I looked at was GB1031 and GB1372. These were both sort of clustered. GB1031 was a very short Barbadense. Of course, had large seed, but not productive at all. But I guess I've got time on my hands at some point, and I'll make some crosses with that and see if I can pull anything out of those. But then the Sea Island Sea Berry, it was short, very late maturing, had very small bowls on it. And then one from the Shafter collection that it may be listed as a hirsutum, but this SN0594-2, it had a semi-barbadense look to it. It was very late and had real waxy top leaves on it, so it was an unusual plant type there. Last year, I had the chance to go down to Tecum in Mexico and look at the program down there, and it's a joint program between the USDA and NEFOP, and that's where they grow out a lot of the national cotton germplasm collection is grown out there. And our plans are this year, myself and Jane Deaver will be taking our graduate students down there and showing them the nursery, and I've told James Freelikowski that he will get some work out of us when we're down there. And that's being supported by Cotton Incorporated, and I'm very grateful for their support of this project. But in Tecumen, you can see a lot of the diversity here within not only the Hirsutum collection, but also the Raimondii and the Arboreum. And I think this may be the GB1031. It got a little taller down there, but it puts on a really thick stalk there at the base. So, and then they have their carryover nursery, and I think this particular cotton plant may be 4 or 5 years old. So that's interesting to see cotton that old. And, of course, you have red cotton down there. A lot of diversity, though. Here is, I think that may be an arboreum there. But what was interesting to me, and I didn't appreciate nor understand the diversity within the arboreum collection. Most of us deal with hirsutum constantly, and we understand how much diversity there is in hirsutum. But I believe that there's probably more diversity within arboreum than there is in hirsutum. So that's one of the things that I hope to teach my students, is that we've got to protect that diversity in arboreum, because now the techniques have been developed where we can maybe cross some of those bridges. And lastly, I want to talk about a couple of lines that have been developing and they're in the process of being released, TAM CF98 and TAM CF162. CUP98 was a result of 97M-16 mated with New Mexico Sea Island 1331, and CUP162 is 94L2 times New Mexico State Sea Island 1331, and 94L2 was a sister line of 94L25. They were derived from IPSs at the F3 generation in 2003. We performance tested those in 2004, 5, and 7. CUP98, it was slightly later, it was taller, and bowls were more storm resistant than FiberMax 832. And CUP162, it was slightly bushy, but had a similar maturity and a bowl type is similar to FiberMax 832. Now looking at performance data, what you don't want to focus, well, one of the reasons why we selected CUP162 for release was it had decent yield. It wasn't fantastic, but it had a nice micron air. It was maybe a little finer quality fiber. And then the length was a 1.22, which was significantly longer than the Czech varieties in the particular test. CUP98, we released that primarily because of the fiber length and the fiber strength and the elongation, which a lot of times you don't see a really good fiber elongation with fiber strength, so we thought that was a pretty interesting combination there. Certainly had yield challenges there at only 552 pounds per acre. And this is averaged over those 3 years that they were tested. So I don't think either one of these lines, you know, they don't have the potential to be commercial varieties, but I think they could be valuable parents in a lot of breeding programs. And so with that, I will entertain any questions. This, by the way, this was a cotton plant on the road between Colima and Tecumen, and you can see it's a long way to get to something that resembles cotton. Which?
This one.
Yes.
This is not a borium. I think this is herbaceum.
Yeah, there's herbaceum in there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not saying they're all. There was everything down there. And it's very rare. You won't see everything in my program, but you can go down there and you can see all the species in there. Dr. Jones, I've slept since then.
I'd remember that forever.
I know you would. Hey, the best I can recall, there were several lines with those type of bracts on there, though. I mean, looking at those species, it wasn't uncommon to see that, no.
Oops, did it go too far? All right, let's thank Steve.